All right, brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles tonight. And tonight, God willing, we are going to conclude our dwelling, at least for now, in the Bible study that He has given us here in Romans. And I am thankful to Jesus. It's been a precious time for our lives, especially I can testify of my own life. I thank the Lord again it's the word of His grace. It's by His Spirit. That we become more established in Him, in His love, in the truth and grace. And I thank the Lord. I truly received a vision again of that precious tree that's planted by the water, and that the roots would just be more expansive. And thanking God that, again, the roots of faith in our life would sink further down. And again, that's really what Romans brings out so wonderfully, is the beauty of faith. How it's all by grace, but how beautiful to God is our believing Him. The magnificence, how stunning it is to our Father when we believe that everything has been given in His Son. And it's here in this Word that we rest, and this Word that is our life. And we thank God for this. But as we know and as we are thankful, faith is the only thing that pleases God. We thank God the simplicity and the directness of what our God gives to us. And He tells us that faith comes one way. It comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And we give Him thanks for that, because we are simple creatures. Oh, we get vain in our own imaginations. We try to say how it's going to be or how we're going to believe more and all of these things. But He says, no, honeys, it's by my Spirit. I have to open up your heart. You're the little bird, and praise God, I will put it in there. It's my desire and my will. But I thank the Lord again. Lord, I'm nothing, and you're everything. Hallelujah. But I believe what a journey we've had. We've understood very clearly in this precious Romans that all mankind is guilty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for that precious plan that's only there to magnify one, and that's your Son. Thanking God again that even though all were guilty, the much mightier offering plan of grace, hallelujah, defeated it all. I thank God for His grace that covered a multitude of sin. And through grace, through faith, praise the Lord, we are instantly transferred from death to life everlasting. We are brand new. Hallelujah. Brand new. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Praise God for these things. And we need that encouragement, don't we? We always try to hang up our own lives on one event. Oftentimes, we do that with one another. God help us. The one and only event is I'm born again. Hallelujah. I'm brand new. And every son of God is too. So we thank Jesus for that. But then we've went on a little bit, and we understand it's all by faith in the Word of God. That is our life. Hallelujah. Not just on a page. It lives in us. The more faith, the more we grow. The more we grow, the more we expand, the more we change from glory to glory into the fully mature, complete man of God, just like Jesus. I think of the benefits of the faith of God. As the Lord tells us in Galatians 4:1, every child of God is a little Lord of all. But praise the Lord, by this faith, by believing God, it grows us into, we see the offering of not only a little Lord of all, but jointly ruling and reigning with Him. To be glorified together with Him. Praise the Lord. And then the benefits, as we see, even right now, that we rejoice. This is our rejoicing. This is our fellowship. This is, as Paul speaking of those that rejoiced in Paul's gospel along with him. That precious mystery, the dispensation that was given to him. He thanked God for that fellowship, that cherubim fellowship. And praise the Lord, we're in Romans 16. We're going to read from verse 25 through 27, and here we go. Now to Him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But now, is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, praise our Lord. Now, notice first of all, so perfectly, all of it, everything of us is to Him. It's all to Him. If you go back to Romans 11:36, such a precious verse that encourages us through what our life again is for, about, it is all to Him. As it says in 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank God we get that. Thank God we not only get that, we rejoice in that. When you get it, you rejoice. When you get it, you're thankful. When you get it, hallelujah, you can't help but hit your knees and then have Him just lift you up and then praise God. Then you really begin to worship. You draw nigh unto Him and in fervent love to kiss Him. Praise His name. But see, it is all for Him. As the Word of God tells us, it's all to the good pleasure of the will of God. The plan, the purpose of God, and the passion of God is to establish you, to establish me, hallelujah, with the power, with His power, with the Holy Ghost. That's the power. And the power, again, is that love. And remember always what the Holy Ghost does. He takes the love of God and He sheds it abroad. He gushes it through your life. He gives you a passion for the Word of God. He gives you a passion to believe the Word of God. He gives you a passion, praise God, for Jesus Christ. Delirious, as David said, I pant after Him. But that's what the Holy Ghost does. He takes the things of Christ. And the greatest thing of all is that love. But that love gives you everything. And I thank the Lord that this is why we know, and Scripture tells us, and over, even in this Romans, praise the Lord, everything changed in Romans 8. Why? Because the Spirit, the power of God now. Praise God, we've got the plan, we've got the purpose, we've got the provision, and hallelujah, to bring it all together, we get the power. He gave us the one that could work it in us. He gave us the one that would minister it to us. He gave us the one, praise the Lord, that would perform it in us. Thank you, Jesus. We've got it all, don't we? But this is the Spirit. This is why we need the Holy Ghost. This is why we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives. It is essential, as it starts out here in verse 25, to establishing us. You think about even the disciples. They were a bunch of fearful, cowering, fraidy cats, whatever you want to say, that had no standing. The reason you knew it is because they were banking on themselves to stand as opposed to understand it was only going to be the grace of God. But see, to really understand the grace of God, to really understand God's unmerited love, that's why you need the love of God shed abroad in your heart. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. That's why these disciples, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't bear it. They wouldn't even tarry. Matter of fact, they split when it all hit. And you know it. And it wasn't just Peter. They were all in that camp. By the grace of God, we were all in that camp. You understand, that's our. That's the only thing we could bring is nothing. Something that's going to bail. But God and His faithfulness in giving us the power, hallelujah, that would perform this in us if we'll yield to the Word of God. Now, think about even Paul and Barnabas. Why was it so important? Paul was ministered. On that road to Damascus, he was ministered by the Lord about what would be, what he was to the Lord, that he was a chosen vessel unto Him. And praise God, he had received the Lord. He knew Him as his Savior at that time. But then the Lord sent a brother in Christ to him to pray over him and to lay hands on him. And He says to him, brother, Yes, we know that at that moment as well too, that Paul was already saved. Paul had received Christ on that road. That's why he could refer to him as brother. But then, after that, he said, I'm going to lay my hands on you, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So again, whether it was Barnabas, as it said about him, and ready to minister Paul's gospel, he was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. So this emphasis throughout the Word of God, many more times that you'll hear this. But yet, we can often be unsettled because we're not willing to wait upon God. We want to see things in our own eyes. We want to see things happen right now. But God has a plan, and God is willing. Just let Him do it. And He will do it. Praise God. He is faithful and true. But some will not be settled in these things about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, its purpose and its evidence. And no matter how many scriptures sometimes you give them. But I even ask ones that might be unsettled about ones that have even come into gather into a meeting such as this. And I want you to think about even the evidence that the Lord has given us in our meeting and the Lord that has given it that evidence in meetings that are like this. I'll ask you this, brothers and sisters. How many meetings have you ever met or known throughout your lifetime that preach the fullness of Paul's gospel? Now, I don't say that braggingly or anything of that nature, but I ask you sincerely, how many? Now, I know that there's some, they have grown up in this church. That's myself. Now, I have been exposed to other meetings and things of that nature. I do have some account of these things and people and their testimonies. But what about folks that have come into this meeting and but you came from other meetings? You tried other meetings. You went through other religions and all of these different things. I want to ask you again, how many meetings have you ever known that have preached the fullness of Paul's gospel? I'm talking about not withholding a thing. I'm talking about the bridal teaching. And I'm talking about the bridal teaching that is according to the Word of God, which the bride of Christ is a separate rib portion company of saints that will be raptured and meet the Lord in the air and will be the first company, praise God, that will meet Him there. All right now. I know you know where I'm going with this, but I'm going to keep going. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I sincerely have not ever known or met any outside of the grace and glory circles that mainly are scattered from about the Kansas City area to the West Coast. All right? Now, I've conversed with pockets of people throughout the world. Praise God. There's a few that had received that wonderful ministering of Paul's gospel and rejoice in that precious bridal message, and thanks be to God for that. But I'm going to tell you one thing, that in every one of these churches, in every one of these churches in the house that I have ever been introduced to, know of, and have fellowshipped with, here's the one thing they all have in common. They absolutely know and have received and believe the necessity of the scriptures in John and in Acts. And without, and I'm talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the necessity of the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be led into all truth. God is not a liar. And Jesus Christ said very clearly to His disciples, I have many things to say unto you. I have many things to minister unto you. You have been with Me 3.5 years. You call Me Lord. You call Me Christ. But you cannot bear these things. You cannot understand these things until He, the Spirit of truth, is come. And He has been with you, and He shall be in you. And when He's in you, He will guide you into all truth. Amen. So then we know and we preach that being filled with the Holy Ghost is separate. It is a different event than salvation. There is salvation, and it is very precious. And then there is the infilling, and it is very precious. And then there is, at the moment of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, there is the evidence of speaking in tongues. All right. Now, we can wrestle with this. We can try to talk around it. We can give scriptures. We can pray. But I'm going to ask you once again, of any of the meetings that you've ever known that preach the whole counsel of God, they preach exactly what I've just said. And they preach nothing different. And that's the truth. Because it is the truth. Because without all truth, you don't have rightfully divided truth. And without all truth and rightfully divided truth, you will never come to the true, exact, on the mark knowledge of Christ and his readied wife. You won't. I believe we need to be encouraged in that. In love. But brothers and sisters, do not waver from these things. Do not let your mind try to wrestle and to tangle. Even God in his faithfulness, he gives us the evidence. His evidence is in his people. His evidence is in his readied wife. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, it's going to be the Holy Ghost that establishes you. Amen. And notice the word establish. It means firm. It means settled. It means grounded. Hallelujah. She stands, withstands, and having done all, stands. Isn't that wonderful? Just stand. I think that's what the encouragement is. Amen. Praise God. Just as if we're already there. Hallelujah. I believe he's bringing it now. And stand in what does it say here? Paul's gospel. Amen. Let's go back and read that in 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. According to Paul's gospel is what he's saying there. All right. Now, that's the fully purposed Paul's gospel saints. This is what this is ministering to. Now let's go back and touch upon a few of the verses once again that speak of and encourage us about what this is, this Paul's gospel. How special this is, this Paul's gospel that he's talking about here. Go back to Romans chapter 2 and let's read verse 16, which we have been to, and thanks be to God. It says there in 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Now we know that all men are going to be judged in a sense of one thing. We're already, in a sense, what I'm saying of all men is by the blood. By the blood. So when that blood's upon your life, there's never going to be any judgment. But the condition is the blood. So we know, praise the Lord, that the secrets of men isn't, or that judgment in a sense of salvation isn't what this is speaking of here. This is the secrets. This is the very intent of the heart by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There is a sincerity that's going to be judged in this. This is talking about the reward of my son's hand in marriage. This is what this, praise God, judging that heart is about. And this is going on now. This is going on as, praise God, that servant was sent, amen, to find, to minister to that bride for Isaac, that bride for Jesus. It's the same thing. And this is where we are at. This is what the ministering that's going on. Go on over to 1 Corinthians 11:1. And here again tells us about the necessity, the importance, the claim that is made through the Word of God about Paul's gospel. No other gospel, no other minister will you hear this about. This again is only about Paul's gospel. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Be ye followers of me." This is Paul saying, "Be ye followers of Paul. As Paul, I also am of Christ." We're not following Paul to worship Paul. We're following Paul in the type of how he worshiped Christ. his maturity, his faith in love. Amen? This is what this is. This precious ministry, this precious gospel that was first ministered through Paul, and praise be to God now, and as Paul ministered to others, they ministered that same gospel. So you could even, and we'll read verses here in a moment, you could mark them that were preaching Paul's gospel and following them that followed Paul as he followed Christ. It was all in that gospel, not the vessel, but the precious message that came forth out of that vessel. Going on, let's go over to Colossians 1:25. And in Colossians 1:25, it says there, and we'll go back to this first chapter of Colossians here in a moment, so keep your finger there. Paul says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God." He is the overseer, is what this means. The domestic, the housekeeper of this message. He was given it first to God, which is given to me for who? For you. It was given to Paul for us to fulfill. That word also translates to complete the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Paul ministered this precious message to many, and mainly people that were already saved, because this was the message that they needed to grow up into Christ in all things, into him in all things. This was that message. And Paul was given that message that completed the word of God. And you think about the word of God that completed Jesus. What's going to complete Jesus? His wife. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That completes the whole thing. That fulfills, completes the word of God. I hope that makes the hair on the back of your head, your neck, all over your body just stand up. It's right there. That's the word of God. It's Jesus that fulfills him, completes him. You think, well, he's lacking nothing. Oh, yes, he is lacking one thing. He's lacking a wife. As the Father said, it's not good for you, son, to live alone. Hallelujah. This is ours. This is where it's going. All right. Now, go on over to 2 Timothy 2:7. Let's read how, again, these are just such precious things, and God help us to rejoice in them over and over. Now, listen to what Paul says here again. The statements that are made by the Spirit through Paul. This is so important. There's no other one that speaks like this, because there was no other one given this. You see the importance of this message. Here's what Paul says. Consider what I say. Huh? Consider what Paul says. And what happens when you consider what he says? Or listen, adhere to, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Praise the Lord. See, Paul's gospel opens up everything. Paul's gospel puts on, if you want to say, the vision. Hallelujah. The vision of everything in the Word of God. It brings out everything. It brings out every type. It brings out every example. It brings out the meaning of Genesis through Revelation. Paul's gospel allows you, and you've heard me say this before, you've seen those pictures and paintings that have all of those geometric shapes and colors and all, then there's a picture hidden in there. And you look at that painting and or whatever it is, and you think, no, it's just a bunch of colors and a bunch of shapes and all that. No, no, no. Sometimes they'll hide an eagle in there. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's in the Old Testament especially. It's hiding a wife in there. It is. And you got to know what you're looking for, and you got to know what you're looking at. And then, matter of fact, you got to have eyes that see it. Enlightened eyes is what they are. Enlightened eyes of your understanding to see that. So that's exactly what Paul's gospel is. It's the eyes, it's the vision, it's the heart, it's all those things that peer into that, that see that, that want that and take it. Hallelujah. And praise God, once you see in the natural that picture that might have that eagle in there, every time you look at it, you don't see colors and shapes and all that anymore. You just see the eagle every single time. It's just there. Well, can't you see that? Oh, I got to have enlightened eyes of understanding, don't you? Enlighten the eyes of your understanding. Hallelujah. And that's how it is. All right, let's go on over to Philippians 3:17. And these are just, again, a few. There's many more. But I think these are so apparent to what God has for us. But that's 3:17. Now, here's all of those, again, that have received this gospel. So now, you see it wasn't just Paul the vessel. It's the message of Paul. Now listen to how it says it here. Brethren, be followers together of me, of Paul, Paul's gospel, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Praise God. I believe there's followers of him in this place. That praise God by his grace, and grace alone. That's the only way you followed Paul was by grace anyways. You don't think highly of yourselves, do you? You just know it's the gift of God, it's grace. And praise the Lord, that same incredible anointing of a marking is upon your life, just as it was Paul. Just as it was Paul. Not that we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, there's nothing to compare here to. It's the message. It's the message. That's why he said, why are you saying I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas and I'm of Apollos? Huh? It's the message, dummies. It's all it is. And that's what it is. And that's how incredible it is. It's not about the vessel. It's the message. It's the proposal is what it is. It's that Jesus Christ wants you to be his wife. Hallelujah. All right. So this is wonderful. We have it here. It's the message of all truth. It's very clear. It's very apparent in the Word of God that Paul's gospel is the highest of calling. Amen. That's why it's pointed out over and over this way. But then in our precious text here, let's go back to our text real quick here. And it says, now to him that is power, this is verse 25, now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So there it is one time, and here's how he says it the second time, in case you don't get it. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Basically, he's saying the same thing right on over again. And why? Because he's given us sufficient witness. It's Paul's gospel. First of all, he brings it out specifically, as we just read, according to Paul's gospel. And then he brings it out, the preaching of Jesus Christ. It didn't just say period, because you could say, well, that's the preaching of Jesus Christ, about by the blood and all. No, there's something even more specific here. According to the revelation of the mystery. All right? Now, let's go back and rejoice in what we have been encouraged in many times over, but as the word of God said, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen? So I think you know where we're going again. According to the revelation of the mystery. Well, again, that is the gospel that was given to Paul. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. And read from verse 3. And let's read about, again, this mystery and what it is. How that by revelation, and that word revelation means there was a veil that was removed. All right? There was a veil that was removed. He made known unto me the mystery. Again, this is Paul. Now, wait a second. People knew about salvation for a long time before Paul. So he said, now, wait here. Let's listen. Unto Paul was this mystery made known. So we know whatever was made known before, what was made known to Paul, wasn't the mystery. This was the mystery shown to Paul. Praise God. All right? As I wrote in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So no one knew about this. No one could see this because God had a time that there was going to be a meeting on the road to Damascus testifying to that chosen vessel, the chief of sinners, you're the one that's going to magnify my great grace because of all the people that didn't deserve it, that ever walked the face of the planet, I'm going to give you the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Only God does it like that. Huh? He didn't pick the best guy he could find. It was just like when people try to get all weepy and mushy about Mary. Oh, she was the most sweet, precious one. Mary means rebellious. Get over yourself. I don't know what she was like, but I'm starting to think some things. That maybe she was a lot like you, and me, huh? Grace. God's going to magnify his grace. Get over yourself and be thankful. Hallelujah. Okay. Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So even think of this, what he's saying here. It's not revealed to everybody else because of me. It wasn't because of Paul's effort. How is this incredible message revealed? By the Spirit. Isn't that sweet? And they just jump off, jump in here, and you're thankful again to God that he shows you it's not about a vessel, it's about me, it's about Jesus, it's about his Spirit, it's about his power, his purpose, his provision, his plan. All of that is all done by him. So it says, "It is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Again, why we need the Holy Ghost. It's not going to come to you any other way but by the Holy Ghost. That ministering at the well to get Isaac, his wife, for Rebekah to go was not going to be by anybody else. It wasn't going to be by the Spirit telling somebody else to, hey, would you go tell Rebekah that my master needs a wife? It's never done secondhand. It's got to be by the Spirit. And you'll never know this detailed, wonderful message of the proposal of Jesus Christ, that full truth, that all gospel, that all truth, without being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is what it is. And here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Even Brother Schofield, if you have a Schofield, he makes note, the very first thing he says at the bottom here, that the Gentiles were to be saved was no mystery. Don't let people tell you that. Even Brother Schofield, I don't know exactly what he ended up seeing in the Word of God. I'd never make judgment to that. From what notes he wrote, I don't see that he saw the depth of the bridal truth. He talks about a lot of precious things in here. And this is one of the most precious revelations he really got. I pray that he went on with it. Well, if that the Gentiles, that they're to be saved wasn't the mystery, then what was the mystery? Why didn't you write about what the mystery really was? Well, Paul tells you right here what the mystery is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. As you know, my favorite word, sunkleronimus, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. See, with enlightened eyes of understanding, you say, well, my goodness, that's easier than 1 + 1 = 2. Because that's what the Spirit does. Without the Spirit, you won't even see numbers. You won't even see any of this stuff. You can try. You can wrestle with it. You can come close. But you'll never hit that mark. Need the Holy Ghost. And that's why we pray for one another. And it's not just the infilling. It's the fullness. Because without the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we won't stand in it, will we? Without passion, we won't go on. It's the truth. We don't just go through the motions. We love. And this is the love that the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in our heart. That the Gentiles should be joint heirs as husband and wife, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Hallelujah. So there we go. Now, we got to read a few more here, so we'll take just a little bit more time. But from Ephesians 3:3, Actually, let's just read one more. We can just read the one in Colossians 1:24. So go on back over to Colossians. And we're in that same portion of Scripture. And it'll tell you really the same thing in a way, in another precious way. In another, again, perfect symmetrical view of this precious wife and her calling. And this calling and this proposal to you. But if you go to Colossians 1, let's go read from verse 24 now. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. So this is praise God for this church. Wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, or to complete the word of God, or to complete, praise God, Jesus. And here it is. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known, now here we go, what is the riches of his glory. My goodness. Now you can jump right on over to Revelation 20, and you can see descending from heaven the new Jerusalem. Oh, having the glory of God and her light. Hallelujah. She's full of glory, and praise God, she's got the light. You got him? Oh, hallelujah. You see how this never ends. Matter of fact, in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. What it's going to be, brothers and sisters. But even the mystery, which has been hid from all ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. See, it's the glory of this mystery. The glory of the bride, the glory of his wife and him. Among the Gentiles, again, and there you go. See, the Gentiles. Those are saved ones. That's what Gentiles means. And you got to kind of keep that in your memory heart bank right now. These are saved ones. This is ministering to saved ones. This wasn't just, in a sense, for people that were born Gentiles. The Jews aren't excluded from this, as in a sense, by birth. Praise God. I got Brother Arthur right there. Sometimes I see him running, and I got to catch up. Praise God, brother. It's good stuff. And we encourage ones along. But this is both Brother Arthur and me. This is the mystery among us, the Gentiles. This is referring to us who are saved, that need to receive now the message of Paul's gospel. The message that Jesus Christ wants you to come out, come to him out from among the camp. And I always stop myself if I say come unto him out from among, you go unto him first out from among the camp. Praise God. That's the only way you'll go. All right. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. Isn't that amazing? This is for all. This is intended for all. There's no respecter of person here in the family of God. He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's for all men. Praise the Lord. And again, he's bringing this out. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. That means complete, finished, full, grown, adult, mature, in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor. He says it for himself, striving according to his working. He's not striving according to Paul's working. I strive for more grace to let him do the work. Praise God. Amen. You know that reaching? I press for more grace. Not anything of myself. Oh, Lord, I need to just be still and let you do the work, which worketh in me mightily. Amen? That's Paul's gospel. That's the mystery. That's, praise the Lord, what he has for us. And how blessed we are. How highly favored we are. The chaste virgins unto him, if we will take what he's already given to us. I believe you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, are you not? Then take it, believe it, live it, let it grow. Praise the Lord. because now is made manifest to us, as it says in Hebrews 11:40, a better thing, the better thing to us. It's here for the taking, and it's only going to come through the Scriptures. It's not going to come through emotion. It's not going to come by my works of my flesh. It's going to come by the Scriptures, the Word of His grace, Jesus, who builds us up. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on and we'll finish this up. Now this next part, as we get back here into Romans and getting back in the last part of 26, I've read this many times, but I have to tell you, by God's grace, it never caught my heart the same way as it did this time by the Spirit. And I want you to read it with me here, and we'll kind of back up through 25 and go. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So in continuing again with the thought that there was this double portion that was given to us, there was this sufficient witness. It's Paul's gospel, and it's about that mystery. God's highest purpose for us to be established in Paul's gospel, to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. And here as it says, right here, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. That word according to means came down from. The commandment of the everlasting God, all the depths of the riches of Christ, all of this precious Paul's gospel, it came down. It's grace. It came down to us. It's according to. It's all according to grace. Amen? It all flows this way. Praise the Lord. It all comes down from Him. Every good gift comes from Him. Brothers and sisters, that great grace and the greatest of that great grace brings that message that we just read, that the church, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride, that this church age, His Son is going to have a wife. That's what this is for. And here is really this precious little secret in here, or I shouldn't say secret, but just thanking God again for Him rightfully dividing the truth to us by His Spirit. But see the words right there, the everlasting God made known to all nations? That actually is the word Gentiles. It's the same word that we just read back in Ephesians and the same word we read in Colossians. They translated all nations, but it's truly translated, and it is the same word in the Greek as Gentiles. These are saved ones again. This is this message that was coming down to the saved ones. For their submission, it says here, for their compliance of faith, it is all there again. If you go back with me to Ephesians 3:6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. This is same, basically the same thing in just a different way. It's all come down. This is to the Gentiles. This double portion, this sufficient witness of what I'm telling you here, that you would be established in Paul's gospel, that you would be established, praise the Lord, and in the knowledge, the intimacy of a husband and how he knows his wife and vice versa, of the mystery of Christ. This is what this is, for the obedience of faith. Oh, I love that. The obedience of faith. In that obedience, brothers and sisters, see, man has taken the word obedience in marriage and things of that nature, and they've made something wicked out of it again. We do want to be obedient as a readied wife for our bridegroom. We do. That loving, that one that's submissive to Him, that truly honors Him, that He is my head and that's my treasure, that I surrender to that precious place, that it is to my privilege and to His honor and to His glory. This is what this is getting at here, brothers and sisters, is that this is the obedience, praise the Lord, of believing God in my life. Not many want to see this, do they? Huh? Praise the Lord that it's Christ that works in you. Praise the Lord that it's His desire to finish this in us. And then finally it says in verse 27, to God only wise. Again, to Him everything. And the beauty of His wisdom and His plan beyond. The power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. How stunning that is to Him. What pleasure it brings to Him. The ecstasy, praise God, as He sees the mature sons taking flight. And all the glory, it says, again, through Jesus Christ forever. Forever, forever and ever and ever. And one last time, let's be reminded. And let's give thanks, as it says there in Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So see, it's of Him. It's all in Him. Huh? And then it's all through Him. Amen? And then, but it's through Him to us. Hallelujah. But then, praise God, but then it's all back to Him. It's just one sweet circle that keeps coming back round and back round. Well, that's the supplying of the head. And I think of this and I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the incredible oneness that we have in Him. Isn't it wonderful? The oneness that's in Christ. Think of Colossians 3:14. It says there, the bond of perfectness. Let that thrill you. The bond. That's love. That's love, okay? That's an incredible love. And that bond speaks of actually ligaments in a body. The sinews, how it's connected. But then also that bond speaks of a band. A wedding band. And it's perfectness. It's the completion. Hallelujah. It's the perfection. The bond of perfectness. The perfection of that all coming together. Amen? And what does it say in Ephesians 4:13? This is the last thing we'll read. So think of that perfectness of it all coming together. What does He say in 4:13? Actually, let's read it from verse 12. It gets even more exciting. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads. You know what? Let's stand and worship Him. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much. Praise you, Lord God. Thank